Those of you who were here yesterday, we began yesterday actually, so I'm going to do a quick recap of what we talked about yesterday. Everybody there, Matthew chapter 28. Okay, let's read this together. Okay. Great Commission. You're there? Verse 19. 18. Okay, verse 18. 18, 19, 20, yeah? Okay, let's stand. Ready? Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Please take your seat. Yesterday we talked about Jesus' call, firstly, to the disciples. All right? If we read from verse 16 onwards, it says it was the 11 disciples that were there. It was the 11 who were there. And Jesus came to them, and he said this, he spoke to them, verse 18. So, the disciples were the ones that were addressed, alright, specifically. And today, this applies to us simply because we are Jesus' disciples. We call ourselves Jesus' disciples, right? Okay, and we asked this question, you know, as an introduction yesterday. We ask ourselves this question, do we call ourselves Jesus' disciples? Because if we say, no, I'm not a follower of Jesus, then this verse doesn't apply to us. Okay? It applies to all of us who call ourselves a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And today Jesus calls us simply coming down by his death on the cross, living his life here by his death on the cross and his resurrection. He calls us into a relationship with him. He calls us to fellowship with him. He calls us to be his disciple. And one of the things that we emphasize is this. You know, Jesus was a different type of leader, right? We gave the illustration in those days. And you watch, all this Kung Fu movies, there's always the master and the disciple. And the trend or the mode is that a wannabe will always go to the master and says, "I want to be your disciple. Can or cannot?" And ask permission. And then he would go through certain tests to see whether the master approves to begin that process of discipleship. And in those days, it was similar. You know, there were rabbis, there were teachers of the law, and people who want to study the law actually went to this rabbi and said, "Hey, can I be your disciple?" Right? And that was how it happened then. But Jesus, you know, did everything the other way around. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Peter and Andrew. And they were fishing, they were casting their nets. The Bible tells us, you know, you can read this in Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 1. Alright, they were casting their nets. He goes around and he says, "Come follow me." In fact, he says this, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Okay, so Jesus goes to these fishermen, these two men, and he says, "Come and I will make you. I will transform you." And then he goes a little further. He sees John. And he does the same thing. "Follow me." And the response was, these guys, Peter, James, John, Andrew, dropped their nets immediately. In fact, if you read Mark, it tells us that he left the father with the servants. So it's not just, you know, him and the parents, the dad, that was there fishing. Now in those days, you take on the trade of your parents. Your father fisherman, you become fisherman. Okay? Father farmer, you also farmer. Alright? That's the way it is. Okay? So, Peter was there. And all his friends were there, and they were, you know, fishing, and they were washing their nets, mending their nets, in fact. And Jesus comes along and says, come follow me. They drop their nets with the servants, and with that, by that, I'm gone. You know, servants, you help me tapau everything. And they immediately, the Bible tells us, follow Jesus. And so, we said this, that there is a call upon our lives today. Matthew chapter 28 is the climax of, you know, Jesus' call for us. He says, go and make disciples. Follow my example. You know? Okay? It's exactly the same thing as Jesus did. He walks by the Sea of Galilee. He turns around to Peter, Andrew, James, John, and says, follow me. I will make you. Okay? Now, Matthew chapter 28, he says this. Go and do the same. Go and make disciples. Alright? It's now your turn. Go and make disciples. So he addresses the 11 disciples that were there at that point of time. A response is required every time there is a call. So Jesus calls us, come follow me. Jesus calls the disciples, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. A response is required. Their response at that time was dropping their nets, immediately leaving whatever they were doing, didn't even finish it, and follow Jesus. I was meditating on this a little bit more last night, and you know, can you imagine Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, right? And he said this, you know, hey, Peter, Andrew, come on, follow me. I want to make you fishers of men. But you settle everything first. Once you tap out everything, then you can follow me. And then he sits down and he's like, come on, Peter, hurry up, let's go. You finish? Are you done? Can we go now? You think of that, right? A lot of times we are like that. Jesus says, all right, brother. He calls us brother, right? He calls us friend, right? In fact, he calls us by name and he says, come, follow me. Come, I've got something, you know, special for you. Come and see what's happening. And then we say this. All right, God. Just hang on, let me tap out everything, finish up, and then I will come. Just chill for a while. Guilty, Looking down on the ground means a bit guilty, You know, we tell God, God, hang on, let me tap out whatever I'm doing first, and then I will come and follow you. Then you can make me fishers of men, That's not what happened. But a lot of times in our life, that's what happens to us. We tell God, hang on. Hang on, let me finish whatever I'm finishing first. Then you can do whatever you want with me. Right? In fact, we tell him a whole lot of other things as well. Okay. So, whenever there's a call, there needs to be a response. What's our response for the new year? Peter, James, John, Andrew immediately dropped their nets left. Follow Jesus. Did whatever Jesus required of them. We also said that, you know, Jesus' call for us, for the disciples then and for us today, is essentially the same. Because after Jesus gave the Great Commission, he left. That's it. No more Jesus around. But they had the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And so, we need to rely on God, we need to draw strength from the power of the Holy Spirit to say, teach me how to make disciples. This is your plan. And this is your plan. What does it mean to make disciples? And we said this. We need to help people to become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. A disciple is a follower. And so if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we follow Jesus Christ, right? And if we are to make disciples, it basically means we help people to become followers of Jesus Christ. To become better followers of Jesus Christ. There is a cost, however, when we follow Jesus. And the cost is this. Jesus said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, right? And it will cost you. And what would it cost you? The Bible tells us very clear. Matthew chapter 16 says this, if any man would come after me, or if any man would follow after me, or if any man would be my disciple, right? Here's the cost. He needs to take up his cross. He needs to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Meaning to say that we need to die to ourselves. That is the cost of following Jesus. And it's important, I think it's important for us to just read that. I know we read it yesterday, but for the sake of those who are not here, Matthew chapter 16. Young men need reading glasses already. Okay, Matthew 16, verse 24. Okay. Then Jesus said to his disciples, again, let us take note that this is for the disciples. Alright? If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, a lot of times we read this scripture, we read this passage, and we emphasize verses 24, and we say this, okay, this is for all of us who want to be followers of Jesus Christ, right? There we go. Deny yourself, take up the cross. In other words, die to yourself, follow Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all, die. And then we go on and we say this, all right? And we use this scripture, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life, for me will find it. And then read on, what good will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, lose his soul? And a lot of times we take this scripture and says, oh, this one for non-Christian. What's the point you have everything in the world and lose your soul, right? You've got to become a Christian. How many of you heard that message before? I've heard it, many, many times. This one, you got to receive Christ, because if you don't, what's the point, if you gain the whole world? Jesus was, you can use that for, sharing with your non-Christian friends. But hey, Jesus was talking to Christians here, In fact, to be specific, he was talking to disciples here. And, a lot of times we think of it and we look at it and say that, hey, there's much in this world to have, to do. Me. And Jesus says, die. That's the cost of being a disciple. Now, having said that, first Sunday, first day of the year, the message is this, let's all die. No, this is not some cult or something like that. Okay? But Jesus said we have to die to ourselves, right? We want to enter the new year, the year of discipleship. For us, as a church, We need to begin by recognizing that, hey, if we want to be disciples, we got to die to ourselves. Because that's the command of the Lord. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, cannot apply to us if we are not disciples. Specifically given to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and make disciples. So a lot of times, we take that scripture and we say, oh, okay, let's go. I mean, we'll talk about this later in the month, right? Let's make disciples. But then we got to stop first and ask ourselves, wait a minute, am I a disciple? Because if I'm not a disciple, then this doesn't apply to me. If I'm not a disciple, then I can't go out and make disciples. And if we stop and say, hey, okay, I'm supposed to be a disciple because, you know, Jesus loved me, died on the cross for me, and, you know, I want to follow Jesus, then we've got to say, I've got to die to myself. I've got to give it all up. I've got to learn how to be a better follower of Jesus Christ. How can I do that? We cannot follow someone. We cannot do something that we do not know. We got to know that person before we can follow. We got to get to know Jesus before we can be a follower of Jesus Christ. If we don't know Jesus Christ, we will never be able to follow him. And so the challenge for us today, okay, last night we gave a couple of challenges, you know, what's our response as a disciple? And today I want to give you just two simple responses. Last night we talked about, you know, how we need to have the appropriate response to say, yeah, you know, I'm a disciple and I want to go and make disciples. But before we venture into that, or rather how we're going to venture into that, we got to sit down and say, I want to know. I want to know God. I want to be, first of all, a better follower of the Lord Jesus Christ this year. Because if we are not going to be take effort to follow Jesus, we are not going to be able to make disciples. Being a better follower means that we need to spend time with God. We need to spend time with God. We need to come before him and say, and sit at his feet and listen to him. You know, when Jesus picked the 12, he spent his whole life with them. Everything that he did was in the presence of his disciples. Except for a few occasions where he went out to the mountain alone. Other than that, the disciples were with him all the time. All the time. And you can imagine, you know, the frustration. And you hear this in scripture all the time. Jesus comes and says, hey, what happened? Why you no faith? Alright? He comes to his disciples and says, hey, why so dull? You know, and he had every reason to say that because he had spent his whole entire life with them. Well, his ministry life at least. They had seen everything that he did. They were there. And when it was time for them to exercise faith and they could not, Jesus turned to them and said, hey, what's happening, guys? Come on! A lot of times, as leaders, we feel like that also. Hey, come on! What's happening? Wake up! We've experienced this before. God is good. Amen? Amen! We can go through this trial. Amen? A bit quiet lah. The amen softer a bit. Can. Instead of, yeah, amen! We need to spend time And we need to follow by faith. We need to learn how to be mature. And that's the choice. That's the choice. We saw baby picture, right? And as a baby, you know, there's nothing you can do on your own. Everything needs to be done for you. Everything needs to be done for you. Someone needs to bathe you. Someone needs to feed you. Someone needs to clean you up, wipe your poop. But you cannot expect a baby to remain like that forever. If after 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you know, someone still needs to bathe you, feed you, clean your poop for you, something is wrong with you. Not natural. It is not natural that after a couple of years, you still need to be fed, just drink milk, you know, cannot eat anything else. It is not natural if you don't grow up and learn to crawl and learn to walk and learn to run. It is not natural if you sit and still expect someone to wipe your poop for you. It is not natural. And in the spirit, sometimes, on our own accord, we choose the way that is unnatural. The way that God has not designed. God has designed it for us to grow. God's design is that we mature. And you know what? After a certain time, that's our choice. You know? We choose to mature. We choose to learn and to grow. We choose that. Can you imagine once you reach 6 years old, right? In fact, before that, nowadays, a lot of parents very kiasu already. But 6 years old, you go to, you know, kindergarten, and then 7, you go to Center One, right? You go to school. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to learn. You're supposed to go through this process of education. Why? So that we mature. But that process of education is dependent on the person being educated. I choose whether I want to learn or not. How many of you sitting here dare to say right now, oh, exam over already, everything give back to teacher already? you're very happy. I choose to learn only for a period of time. For 3 years, sit for the exam, you know, pass, that's it. After that, give back. Now, the sad thing is this. A lot of times we do that with our spiritual walk as well. We say, God, I choose to learn only for a period of time, only when it is convenient, only when it suits me. Other than that, only if I have to. Right now, how many of you went to school because you have to? Yeah. Now that you don't have to go to school, oh, don't really, you know, that's it. And the sad thing is this, we take that which is natural, and we apply it into our spiritual walk, you know, and we say, God, I will only do this if I have to. But once it's over, I return it to you, lah. And I do whatever I want. How many watch Karate Kid? The old one. My time was the old one. Okay. You watch the new one, right? With Jackie Chan, right? Okay. So I remember the old one better, maybe because I watched it many more times. So there's this guy, I cannot remember all their names already. So there's this guy who wants to learn karate, right? And so he goes to this master. And the master says, okay, this is what I want you to do. You know, polish all the cars. Okay. Right hand wax on, left hand wax off. So wax on, put the wax, then clear the wax. So everything like this, wax on, wax off. Then one day he finishes, he goes to the master and says, done. Master turns, looks at all the cars now. There's this garage of cars, right? He looks at it and he says, what do I do next? He's all excited, want to be a disciple, kung fu, you know. And I mentioned yesterday, right? Those days, if you sign up to be a disciple, you do everything. Everything. Okay, you don't just learn kung fu. You do everything from sweeping the floor, from everything. Okay, so it is quite normal for a master to say, go and wash all the cars. Normal, go and do lah. Okay. Finish ready, go to the master. Now what? Go wax the cars again. Second time. You know, maybe 40, 50 cars there. So he does the same thing. Wax on, wax off. And after that, the next day he comes and he asks to paint the fence. So, and he asked him to paint in a certain way, with long strokes using the wrists. Now, as the movie goes, this guy gets really frustrated with what's happening because, you know, for a long period of time, he has not learned any kung fu at all. Zero. All he does is wax on and wax off. Wax on and wax off. And so, in his frustration, he goes, he confronts the master and says, you know, what's this? You know, I come and sign up to learn, you know, how to defend myself. I learn how to fight. You know, I'm here to learn kung fu. But all you teach me is wax on, wax off. And at that point of time, you know, the master then throws him a couple of punches. And as he throws the punch, he says, wax on. And immediately the reflex was to block. And he throws another punch, and as he's throwing a punch, he says, wax off. And the natural response is yet another block. And so he does that a couple of times, and then at that point of time, this young boy begins to realize that what he has gone through, that whole process of wax on, wax off, was actually a training process so that he can be a disciple. So that he can learn kung fu. Now, a lot of times, this is what happens to us. We signed up and said, God, if it's going to cost me my life, yes, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because, you know, better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, you know, that kind of thing. And we say, the rewards surpasses everything that we have to go through. I'm willing to die for Jesus. And then Jesus says this, okay, go and clean up the cars, wax on, wax off. And then we're like, but God, I want to learn how to, you know, perform miracles. I want to learn how to heal the blind, raise the dead, you know, and this is what I want to do. You know, I'm here to learn kung fu, man. And you ask me to clean the car. And in the spirit, we do that. We say, God, why do I need to clean cars? And we wait. A lot of times this happens to us as Christians. We wait for God to answer. You know? And many times, just like in the movie, the master says, just go clean. Just go wax on, wax off. And in our walk in being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus Christ, nothing happens to us because we are still waiting and said, God, what's the purpose of wax on and wax off? If you give me a reasonable answer, then I'll do it. If God says, because it will train you in your, you know, defense, in your kung fu, It will make you a better, you know, student. Then we stop and we say, God, how? We all got a lot of questions, all right? Agree, huh? We got lots of questions. But how? Prove to me, this whole process of wax on and wax off actually works. And then we wait some more. And we wait for God to, you know, give us some lengthy explanation, maybe. Or some reasonable explanation that makes sense to us. Then we say, okay. Give me some cars. Wax on, wax off, you know. And we go through the process and we ask God, enough or not? You know, it's been 50 cars already. Want to do some more? And we go to God and God says, start all over again. And at the end of the day, we say this, God, I didn't sign up for this. I sure this is what it takes to be a disciple. Wax on, wax off. Church, you look at the early disciples, right? They were fishing. They were casting their nets. They were mending their nets. And the Bible uses this word many, many times, you know. Immediately they left. They dropped, immediately they went. No questions asked. They did what it took to follow Jesus. And so, as we begin this year, my challenge for us, number one, let's be ready to do what it takes to follow Jesus. Doing what it takes involves spending time with Him. Doing what it takes involves sitting at His feet. Doing what it takes involves saying, God, if this is what you want me to do, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Even if it doesn't make sense to me. Can you imagine the disciples turning to Jesus and saying, you want me to follow you? You know, you want to make me fishers of men? Can you explain to me a little bit what that means? What's the strategy like? Jesus, got strategy to make me a fisher of men or not? If it sounds reasonable, then maybe I'll follow you because I've been fishing for the last, you know, 20 years or something like that. That's what we do. Do what it takes to be a disciple. Because if you are not a disciple, we can't make disciples. Number two, the second challenge is this. As we learn to be a disciple, we must do what it takes to be someone who is worth following. Be a follower that is worth following. I mentioned earlier in those days, people will come to the rabbis and the masters and the teachers and to say this, I want to follow you. Today we've got to begin by saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. And as we do that, we've got to live our lives in such a way that others would come to us and say, I want to follow you. You know, Paul told the Corinthians this, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, he said, "Is copy me, you know. Copy, you know." Today, a lot of times we use this phrase, do what I tell you to do, but don't do the things I do. Right? You heard that before, right? People say this, do what I tell you to do, but what I do, you don't do. That's not Jesus' example. Jesus' example was this, you know. Do everything that I do. You want to be a disciple, do everything that I do. In fact, at the end of the day, Jesus actually told this to his disciples, you're going to do much more. You're going to do much more than what I did. Again, Paul told the Corinthians this, copy me.
copy,
imitate,
do exactly as I do, because I'm following Jesus. And so, as we begin this year, you know, a lot of times we like to, it's our relationship with God is me and God, right? And we can lock ourselves, you know, go to the mountain, go to the cave, and say, okay, I'm going to spend time with God. This is me and God, you know. That's my walk with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, this is really happening. But, you know, nobody else is involved. That's not God's design. God's design is this, you know. However we grow must affect the people that are around us. It must cause an impact to those that are around us. People must want to follow us. Must want to follow, you know. Okay? And that itself is a challenge if you think of it. It's not like I live my life and, well, if people want to follow, follow lah. If people don't want to follow, never mind lah, up to them lah. And a lot of times we have this, it's me and God, if people want to follow, yeah, fine. Don't follow, never mind. It's okay, no problem. But if we are called to be disciples and to make disciples, we must live our life in such a way that people want to follow us. People want to imitate us. What it means to make disciples is this. We are making, the word disciple basically means a follower. We are saying that we are making people want to follow us as we follow Christ. We are saying that we are helping them to be followers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are following Jesus Christ. And so the next challenge, the second challenge is this. Do what it takes to be a follower that's worth following. In other words, be aware and be deliberate that, hey, I want other people to follow me. Not for selfish gains, but so that we glorify God. In fact, the motive of our Christian life, the purpose of our Christian life is to glorify God. Right? Is to make Him glorified. How do we do that? Go make disciples. How do we glorify God? Follow Him. Be a disciple. And go make disciples. God has given us His Holy Spirit. We are in a similar situation like the disciples. 11 of them, Jesus said, okay, this is it. I'm going, but I'm leaving with you the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things. All things. He said that. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Don't know what to do in your exam? Don't know how to study? Who do you ask? Ask the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says, Jesus says that He will teach you all things. Right? Okay? Ask the Holy Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the disciples that God has called us to be. We're going to break bread in a bit. And as we look at the emblem of the bread and the cup, okay, the cream crackers that we have, simplifying the body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for us, the wine, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are saying, hey, I'm partnering with you. Thank you. Thank you for dying for me. I choose now to partner with you. To do what? To be that disciple. And to make disciples. So today, the challenge is this. Let us choose to be. This whole year, this is the year of discipleship for us as a church. We have, you know, many times read the Great Commission and we have just brushed past it. Guilty, all of us. We have read it and we say, yeah, you know, we got to go and make disciples, but how? Well, don't know lah, up to the pastor. Noah. It's up to the disciple, that's you and me, to make disciples. Let's bow our heads right now. As we bow our heads, we just go to the cross right now. Go to the cross as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we think of the emblem of the bread and the cup. Would you say a silent prayer to the Lord? Two things. Number one, thank Him for what He has done. Thank Him for the new year. This, thank Him. Thank Him for calling you, each one of us. Thank Him. Number two, make a commitment. As we give thanks to the Lord, make a commitment and say, yes, God, 2017 is going to be different. I'm committed to be a disciple. I'm committed to do what it takes to be a disciple. I'm committed to be a disciple that's worth duplicating. A disciple that people want to follow. I'm committed to make disciples. I'm committed to be a follower worth following.